Welcome to another chat on Awakenings. Today we're going to be speaking about chapter 3 of my book, which is called Rougher Seas. Before we get into this, I was talking to my son about rough seas and challenges in life and the way the world's going and the governments, and I'm not a fan of governments at all. Not corrupt governments anyway. They say and do what they like. They don't help people and it's just crazy. I feel like they create the problem with the engine, so to speak, and they go, oh, I've got a way to fix it. So they create the problem and they create the solution, and the whole is controlled by them. And regarding the floods, which my video on the floods was taken down from YouTube, it's nothing huge. Like there wasn't anything major. I could have rented a lot more, but it came under medical misinformation, and I don't offer medical advice whatsoever. I just talk about, I have a family in the floods, so I've spoken about the things I'm hearing through family, through first, second hand, through people that I know. And I have family that's been involved in, you know, that's lost their homes in the floods up northern New South Wales. So that may be deemed by YouTubers medical misinformation, which is a joke. We all know about how ridiculous this is and all the censorship. So anyone that wants to listen to my chat on the floods, you can listen to it on Podbean, on Shane, if you look up Shane Satcher with Podbean. Yeah, it's got, you can listen to the video that was taken down, a podcast. So each chapter offers a lot of information, and it's about diving into yourself. I'll read the Rougher Seas, the start of it, and give you a sense of what it's about. And then I'll talk about other possibilities and where it leads in a sense. So there's a few things here, but this is on the first line in the Rougher Seas, chapter 3. It says, starts with, sometimes in one's life, one has to be stripped back to bear nothing to discover what remains. This was Jackson's journey. Some lights will only be seen on the darkest of nights. So these are obstacles told to Jackson in his late 30s that he begins to believe. And I believe the media do the same thing. It's like hypnosis. When you're told something over and over, often enough, even if you don't believe it or you don't like what you're being told, if you don't use your awareness and you don't practice seeing through or challenging the things told to you, it's easy to fall into the victim space and start believing everything you're told. And I feel this is the way of the world today. And this is, I've been through this myself personally. This is Jackson's journey. A lot of people can resonate to varying degrees. So things that he was told, that he was actually told, that he began to believe. You're a crazy person. Your personality changed 15 times in the last half hour. You need to go to a mental hospital. You need medication. Without me, you would be in a mental facility on medication. Anyone that sees you on the street can see you are mentally ill. You are a compulsive liar. You are volatile. You have a personality disorder. You are abusive. You deserve the physical abuse. Without me, you will lose your kids. Pretty shocking things to be saying to anyone, yeah. Anyone. And if you're saying those things to someone over and over, then there's something seriously wrong with you. Like, there's no solution in that. It's just a matter of, without me, you will fail, and I'm the solution. And that's dangerous. That's very dangerous. So this can lead one to want to escape. And sometimes it's justified, and you need to get out of there. You need to escape. If I truly feel, if you're in an environment that's not supportive, that's not, which means it's not assisting or not supportive of your actual needs, if you're disempowered in that environment constantly, then most often it would be best to run. It would be my advice based on my own experience. When you're broken down, and you're being beaten emotionally, mentally, or whatever level you're being beaten on, to get the courage to leave is a hard thing at times. So I feel that you can quite easily become dependent on the person that's abusive. So I feel when you're disempowered in any situation, and this is what chapter 3 is about, it talks about the disempowerment that Jackson went through. It goes into how Jackson was more and more lost emotionally, and that he got so lost into victim space and so weakened within with all the turmoil and things that was constantly said to him over a period of time, like the media does. He was lost. Basically, he took his eyes off the ball and was lost and couldn't see clearly. And I won't go into it, but basically his whole world was turned upside down when he was weak. And he goes into some of the challenges that he was faced with where he became broken. When he went through some dramas in his life, he focused a lot and did what a lot of guys do. They focus on work predominantly, and work becomes their savior in a sense. Mm. And their focus, they become driven to work because it's something that they have some control over. With a few things that happened, and as Jackson was broken down, he became more and more lost, became broken, and he lost interest in the one thing that kept him going, which was work. So then it got to the point where he was just absolutely lost and was devastated, didn't know where to go, didn't know what to do, and from there the challenges kept coming. Mm. In the moment of weakness, he was absolutely challenged and flawed in a way, and he stopped paying attention to his life. As one of the lines quotes in the book, third chapter says, when you take your eyes off the ball, someone else starts running with it. The wolves were at his door. He didn't notice his accountant ripping him off tens of thousands of dollars from his business. In the end, he had so many hands in his pockets looking for a payout that he didn't know whom half of them belonged to. So his life spiraled out of control, basically. It got to a point where he didn't see his kids for a year. He was in an intense relationship and he was losing his company. Like, there were so many things thrown in his direction. He was losing everything. And from there, he had to, like, it's a pretty doom and gloom chapter, actually. As mentioned, with the things that were told to him, he stopped trusting his intuition. He stopped trusting himself. There was too much turmoil around him. And he just didn't know where to go. Like, it says, this was the start of the most horrendous and intense views of his life and his greatest journey. It finally says, if he'd seen the path he was destined to travel ahead of him, he would have done something to avoid it. The journey to discover who we are, that amazing light within, feels absolutely impossible when we're encased in turmoil with the feeling of no way out. So he was trapped. There was no way to turn. At that point in the story, there was no solutions. There was just turmoil. There was just a sense of being broken. I think a lot of people have gone through that to varying degrees. And which takes us to chapter 4, which is titled Broken. And yeah, we'll go deeper into that in the next chat. So I just thought, I went on a tangent after looking at the stuff and I went straight to the solution. But chapter 3 doesn't talk about the solution. It just goes from there. From all those things that were said to him, he became even more broken. That was just what took him into a space of darkness. And from that, everything, all the other walls started crumbling in. So it was quite an intense journey. Yeah. And that's chapter 3. A great thing that Jackson did and that I have done is when all seems lost and you feel absolutely disempowered and broken to some degree, and we've all felt this throughout our lives at different times, there's a great thing you can do. And for Jackson, he actually took notes in his relationship. His partner had access to everything, controlled everything. And this is not a healthy relationship by any means. And this should never be the case. There has to be some trust there. And if you can't trust the person you're with, you have to wonder why you're with them. And you shouldn't have to check everything to stay with them. If you can't trust them, what are you doing with them? And you have to give people the opportunities to earn trust. And if you give them opportunities to earn that trust or earn your trust and they fail, then there's a misunderstanding within them or lack of something. A lack of understanding, lack of integrity, lack of self-worth. So it doesn't mean they're necessarily evil or really bad. It just means they're confused. And often people that are confused don't want to find answers. They sort of that they just want attention. So it's for one to weigh up how controlling is the other person, what sort of environment is it, or destructive environment, how long has it been around you? Has there been any change? Is it getting worse or better? So what I found for myself personally and what Jackson did is take notes where you can. And what I mean by that is in the middle of being controlled or being victimized, or as soon as there's space and you get some time on your own, if given that opportunity, write down exactly what you're feeling. Write down everything and try to do it as soon as possible after an incident's occurred or some blame's happened or you felt abused by someone. Write it all down, because what you can feel in a dark place is that you feel like you have no memory. You start questioning your ideas. You start questioning everything you stand for, and you think, yeah, I deserve this abuse, or I deserve that, and this person's blaming me. Maybe it is my fault, and maybe I should be another way. And in these periods, so this is a lot. So this is just what I've got from the start of chapter three. Mm-hmm. But this is the meaning behind it, where sometimes to get up and leave, you have to try and get a sense of secure ground, or some. It's like you feel like every step you take, you slip, or it's brittle, or it's fragile. So to get a strong footing, write down. When I was have gone through my own troubles, and I was blamed for certain things, even like, oh, where's your card? Where's this? Where's that? And I'd say, I've given it to you. And they go, well, no, you haven't. Okay, yeah, I could have sworn. Yeah, no, you haven't. And I've been in relationships where partners or people have blamed me. The go-to is, yeah, it's your fault. This is missing. And every time I said, no, I'll give it to you, they go, no. And then I'll find it. It's not always like this, but oftentimes, like, oh, yeah, oh, whoops, you did give it to me, or it's here, or it's there. Or, you know, and then that really doesn't heal that place, because the next time they'll blame you again. So what I'd advise through experience, write down everything that happens straight after it's happened. As soon as you have a moment where you have time to write it down in your phone or somewhere, write down exactly what happened, what you experienced, and how you feel. And do that for at least a week, or as long as you can. You'll find that will give you strength to leave when the time comes, because you'll know that everything you're thinking and feeling is valid. In a dysfunctional relationship, everything you think and feel, or many things that you think and feel, the other person will render your thoughts and feelings invalid. What you experience, how you feel after every moment of every bit of abuse, whether you can justify it or not, but just write down how you're feeling. They will supersede their own thoughts and feelings and wishes and hopes and desires onto you. And they go, no, this doesn't count. It's this. You know, that your thoughts and feelings don't matter. And what I found in my experience, when you write down how you're thinking and feeling and everything that transpired to create those thoughts and feelings, you can start to get a solid footing on the circumstances and what's actually going on. It will give you strength when the time comes to leave. It'll enable you to stand up for yourself, because you've documented things, not in distant memory, not what happened a week ago. I would write things down in my experience at times where I've had felt in the past that a situation has gone out of control. I'd write down straight away, this is what I'm feeling, this is what happened, in dot points. And it wasn't to prove me right or them wrong. Well, actually, it's not really like that. It's like to validate how I'm feeling, because it's when you're in a victim space or you're feeling abused, you may not see the full picture. But what does count, what does matter, is how you're feeling. Even if technically it may be wrong, what matters is how you feel. And if you're constantly feeling disempowered, then your feelings don't matter. And they have to, in any situation, everyone's feelings, everyone's concerns has to be taken into account. Even if you're wrong, even if there's a misunderstanding within yourself, one has to be allowed enough space to discover what truth is, or what values one person has in any situation. We must work out or try and discover in any situation, is this benefiting me? Is what I'm offering, is that benefiting the other person? Is this an balanced environment? Is this where I want to remain? Does everyone benefit in this situation? Mm-hmm. And ideally, you want that to be the case, but it's not always the case. It's about accumulating information that will support how you think and feel, so you'll see that you're not going crazy and that you're not imagining things. it will support your choices going forward if you want to leave or whatever you want to do going forward. If you need time for yourself, if you need space, if you need to run or escape, it will support, it'll fuel your fire to ultimately give you what you need. I feel that, you know, in society today, it's like an extremely abusive relationship where you don't have a voice. If you don't follow the right narrative, then you're squashed. So then you feel trapped and encased and dependent on the person that's abusing you. That's us with the government. They just give us a false narrative. Here I go again about the government. But it's reflective. It's the bigger picture, macrocosm, microcosm in a sense. The methodology of an abusive relationship, the government's doing the exact same thing. They're telling us things that we'd like to believe in a sense that they're not that bad and they can have the answers and they truly care about us, but it's not actually like that at all. We must see through and challenge and take note or take stock, so to speak, wherever we possibly can to give us strength to resist that which doesn't serve us. And we can't live in fear. Living in fear will just take away our courage to stand up when the time's necessary, because there's nothing more important than standing up for our values and what we think and feel, believe. There is nothing more important than that. This will build courage and give you the strength if you accumulate information that validates your thoughts and feelings to stand up. This whole book is about developing strength to stand up and to free yourself and to think differently and change yourself, defeating negative thoughts and those patterns. So I spoke to my son and we're talking about society and how things are and the idea of wanting to go to another place and or go somewhere, find somewhere that was more free. A paradise would be nice. We all dream of going to a paradise where there's true freedom, something that we all deserve. And I said that, let's say you're in this paradise, life would be amazing. You could have nice food and have nice weather around nature, which sounds heavenly, sounds amazing. I said, you'll still be challenged. Your thoughts, you'll take your thoughts with you. It's not about where you are, it's about how you are. And I feel that if you're going to wake up, if you're going to discover truth and seek truth within you, it's going to be done quicker in today's society and where we are. I was saying there is no escape. The only escape is seeing through. It's escaping the inner voice within ourselves. That is the true escape. We have to see through. You cannot run from your thoughts and feelings. You cannot. You can run to a place or go to a place where you're not as challenged potentially. But within your head and those patterns and those that negativity that you can fall into, that will follow you. It just may not be triggered as easily in a place that's like a paradise. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I truly believe if you can go to a place that's easier to live, why wouldn't you go there? You would. I would. Yeah. Obviously factoring everything in, my kids and everyone else. But ultimately, don't get caught in the trap that the escape is to another place. So that can be part of the picture, but the true escape isn't an escape. It's a matter of seeing through the entrapments of thought, of mind. It's how you are, not where you are. And where you are impacts how you are. But it still comes down to the magic formula is seeing through your thoughts and your negativity and learning to value yourself and others. But it's through discovering your own worth first. And when you truly discover your own worth, you don't supersede that or superimpose that on another. You're trying to offer insights to encourage other people to discover their worth. This is so much more than triggering, because if you say this word, you mean this. And you know, our definition, and I feel this is the left anyway, is in a sense that our definition is the true definition, and you can say a certain word. But as far as we're concerned, your interpretation of that word is wrong, because we know our interpretation is correct. And if you don't like it, you're possibly racist or you're this or you're that. Marxism and everything's coming into it more and more. It's waking people up. It's a crazy world, but it's waking people up.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, people need to be rattled to be woken. And I wish it wasn't like that. And in saying that, you know, I'm hoping for a greater world where there's less control by the government. I put my efforts in that, those directions where I can, as we all must. Once again, falling victim to your thoughts and just believing another. And just because that person may be triggered and you may be broken doesn't mean they're right and you're wrong. Those that trigger you easy are volatile and fragile and fearful. The bottom line is, chapter three, there are ways, no matter what you're told, no matter what you're believing and the fearing that they may be true, or even if they're abusive and being hard on yourself, there's no way to live.
Mm-hmm.
The only thing that can't be stripped from us is our intuition, our integrity, our heart. And that's our true beliefs, not the one that you follow along and it doesn't sit with you, but you follow along anyway to avoid conflict. But that will eat you over a period like cancer in a way. And cancer is on the rise in saying that. But I feel disease is about going against the grain, going against everything you stand for. And when one's being squashed and told things is not true or takes away your voice, you must fight for yourself, for your freedom, for your voice. That doesn't mean by getting into an argument with another, because if someone is completely controlling or dominating you, they're not looking for understanding. They're looking for domination, looking to dominate you because of their own fear and their own insecurities. And in a perfect world, we will live harmoniously where we understand each other and no one dominates anyone. Another thing in jealous relationships, they might try and control where the person goes, what they do, how they live, who they see. My attitude was always let them go free. And if they're going to play up or be unfaithful or have limited integrity, then I'd rather find out sooner rather than later. I don't want to control someone for fear of who they may become. I'd rather allow them to discover who they are and see what they're made of sooner rather than later, because then, you know, they earn that respect and the foundation upon which you have any relationship. And like this with my friends, they don't need me to father them or mollycoddle them. There's an understanding and respect, which is what I have with all my close friends. And then you're empowered by all your friends. You cannot be empowered by someone that dominates you. It's impossible. It's definitely, chapter three is definitely worth reflecting on, and it just shows you that you're not alone in being controlled or potentially dominated or being potentially emotionally abused. And that goes, it's pretty heavy. There's a lot there that was thrown in Jackson's direction. So hopefully it takes pressure off to give you a sense that you're not alone in negativity and falling into negative thoughts and not knowing what to believe and falling victim to your thoughts. And the media panders to that. It just promotes victimhood.
Mm-hmm.
You must not offend anyone. Well, so you can't discuss anything with anyone. To expand the mind, we must be challenged to think different. And that's not through demanding and overlaying, it's through understanding and expressing. And I'm all for encouraging all those to express in a healthy manner. I obviously have those people around me that can do that. And I don't have any friends. I don't have any friends, not one friend that I can't express freely to. So you're probably the same. I think a lot of people like that. And as you become clearer and clearer in yourself, those friends just fall away because you're just not interested in locking your heads, banging your heads together for the sake of what?
Yeah, well, you shouldn't have to censor yourself when you're with friends.
Exactly. True friends, you will not have to censor yourself at all. So if you want to know who's a true friend, it's amazing how many people will censor themselves for an idea of a friend without even fully knowing if that's who they are or what they want to see. Like some friends will see something within you, your heart, without you even knowing. You live a certain way or project a certain way that you are for fear of, if you're just yourself, they may not approve of you. You're better off learning to be yourself and finding those friends where you can completely be yourself, let your hair down. And that doesn't mean to allow yourself to be abusive. That means to allow yourself to express freely without being judged. And I recommend everyone to find friends like that. They're out there. And maybe it's a matter of finding certain groups or spiritual groups or church groups or whatever, wherever you're drawn is where you'll find those people. I don't have any friends where I have to pretend. And in saying that, I may not go deep into spirituality or what I believe, and that's okay. It's not a matter of going as deep as you can all the time, but it's about connecting with people's hearts and their genuine way. It's all about connection and heart's heart, heart connections, heart connection.
Mm-hmm.
And that can be without saying hardly anything. It's just a matter of being supportive and having a few laughs and I'm not saying every connection has to be super deep and intellectual. It's about just being in their presence and feeling loved ultimately and supported. I'm not necessarily sure it's hard to find these days because people are waking up. So it may be easier to find now because people that trigger easily, they're more out there. So don't fall victim to them. Find those like yourself. Don't fall victim to the media that have you believing that every second person's going to be triggered or the majority of people agree with them. I believe most people just think the media is a bit of a joke and the stuff, the things they talk about, you know, with the whole gender things, and there's heaps of different genders and all this sort of stuff, and men can have babies and all this sort of rubbish. I just believe that most people just think it's ridiculous, but they don't have a voice. So find out what's true and meaningful for you and pursue that and steer clear of those that are judgmental and abusive and that don't nurture you. That's the bottom line. And once again, if you're caught in any space where it's negative and you're not nurtured or you're not fulfilled in any relationship, I'd recommend you assess that relationship and see if you can either make it healthier or write the negativity, write the things you don't appreciate, write it down so you can accumulate evidence to support that you may need to run or leave the situation. Write down information so you stop doubting yourself and what you think and feel. You think and feel things for a reason. And although I encourage seeing through as much as you can within yourself, you must be in a safe space to do that. And if you're in a controlled space or you feel squashed, then it's very hard to see truth, even within yourself. So gather information where you can, write down how you think and feel, and develop the strength and accumulate the fuel, the momentum for you to spread your wings and go to a greater place.
Sometimes people just need to find the courage to try something different. I think so many people are stuck in a rut, or they get stuck in a comfort zone, and they tend to stick with friends that they've known their entire life, even though it's not necessarily healthy. So I think sometimes it's just having the bravery to just put yourself out there to go and meet new people, put yourself in a new situation and make new friends. I think that in itself can be quite a challenge for many people, just putting yourself into a zone that is not going to be comfortable for a short period of time until you made new friends.
Yeah, I feel completely agree, and I feel that any step forward is better than no step forward. So at least you'll discover something. Even if you join a group, it doesn't necessarily suit you. You've had the courage to go and try and expand your awareness and discover other people. So, and that's where the basis of what I'm saying is discovering and accumulating the strength to go beyond your so-called potential comfort zone, because you may find that your comfort zone is not that comfortable. It's something that's familiar. So it's like, well, you know, you're in a cell and you're comfortable with the cell, but you don't like the food so much and you don't like certain aspects, but it's familiar. And you feel like you might make cop some abuse, but you can tolerate it. Mm. Question is, how long can you tolerate it for? And will it get worse over a period of time? As we become desensitized to certain things because we're used to certain ways, then we can tolerate more abuse. And when you look at the state of the world today, we're tolerating more and more abuse while we're being controlled, but through fear and, you know, the whole masks and the compulsory jabs and all the stuff that's going on, we're becoming more and more desensitized and taking more and more risks all the time. And then we're blaming everyone else for the choices we're making. And if someone doesn't make the choice that we make, then we get angry with them. They have the right to make a choice as much as we do, and that's a fact. So it's getting back to the basics. If something doesn't serve you, develop the strength to expand your horizons. And that's why I feel documenting. And I'm not saying for evidence against others necessarily. I'm saying documenting how you think and feel in any given situation, especially immediately after you've experienced something that doesn't sit well with you. Write it down. Write down as much as you can possibly remember. Write down exactly what happened, how you perceive it, how you feel, how it left you feeling afterwards, how you feel now, and see how often it happens. For me and for Jackson, that was lost in circumstances of a victim space where there felt like there was no way out. To actually write down what I was thinking and feeling. It set me free. It gave me the courage to go, I'm done. I'm done. After a period of time, I'm over this.
Mm.
So it's a great way to read back, because if you don't document or take note of how you feel, then you'll think maybe, no, it's not how I was feeling. No, I was just overreacting. And you'll start questioning yourself. And the reason we're typically in or remain in negative places is because we question ourselves all the time. We don't give ourselves the credibility we deserve. Mm-hmm. And as I've mentioned, it doesn't mean that what we're saying and perceiving is necessarily 100% true. What I'm saying is certain circumstances will impact how you think and feel. And if those things are constantly negative, we must change something. And oftentimes we'll need to get out, because it doesn't mean, well, not always will the other person be receptive to the change that we need. Because to be in an abusive relationship in any way, I'm not talking about normal relationship with partners. I'm talking about with friends, with family, wherever it is.
Mm.
You're not obligated to stay in anything. If someone's not seeing you, it's unlikely, not impossible, that if you stand up, they may see you. But oftentimes it's about the other person, and that's why they're not seeing you over a period. It's all about their needs, all about them, what they want. You have as much right to work on what you want as they do. Now, I probably won't be in a relationship again, not in with a partner, because my needs and what I feel is strong. And I won't dominate another person, but we'd have to be like-minded in a lot of ways. And I enjoy my freedom, and I won't go into a relationship where one is the parent and the other one's not. I'm not saying that's necessarily how things are, but I'm saying that there has to be a mutual maturity and understanding of each other's needs.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a rare thing. And I think when you're younger, you need more connection with others. And I think when you get older and you sort of become more secure in yourself and spiritually minded, you feel more connected, that the connection within is more developed now than ever in my life. So I don't feel like I need someone to fill or fulfill something within myself, because I feel nurtured and whole, always open to possibility. But if you need someone to fulfill a void, sometimes you'll put up certain things within the other person that doesn't work for you, or that doesn't nurture something. So it's a matter of sacrificing, like you weigh everything up to see if you're growing. And I would truly feel in any relationship, you both should be able to grow together, whether it's a friendship, whether it's a deeper relationship. It shouldn't be about control. It should be about freedom and enhancing what both people have to offer. It should be a growth all around. And so you have to obviously weigh up the balance of what's important to you and what areas you want to focus on to grow. And it's a blessing if you both have similarities in that respect. So good luck.
You're going to need it.
Yeah. Well, I think at the moment, though, like it's definitely, as I mentioned, it's easy to work out who's triggered, who's not. So it's like people are almost picking sides more now. So a lot of the guesswork is taken out of it. So really, it comes down to valuing yourself and finding someone that mirrors that to some degree. In this divided world that we live in, I feel that it can potentially be easier to find someone that's more of a match, because there's less guesswork, because people are more triggered. And it's I think the majority of people that are triggered are living in fear. If that's you, obviously you won't be listening to this, but a lot of those people can find each other. But if you're looking for something more, they're easy to find now than ever, I truly feel. So it's not all doom and gloom. We must keep positive, but you deserve more than putting up with crap. That's the whole point. And there are ways to see through it. So gain strength where you can. Follow your heart. But thanks for listening in. Anything else to add to that, Linda?
No, all good.
Cool. So just to finish off, one other thing I did mention about you cannot escape. You can go to a nicer place, and then ultimately you have to see through the mind. So this is, we keep going to this point pretty much every chat. So I'd strongly recommend, even if you're not in a good place or if you're not in a healthy relationship, do a practice every day, even if it's 5 minutes or 10 minutes, that uplifts you, that reflects or does something to support you in your way. I'd recommend that's a great starting point. Document how you think, how you feel, and do something every day to uplift and encourage you to value yourself. Then you'll start discovering your needs and what's important to you. So it can be done. Believe in yourself. Once again, thanks for listening in, and stay tuned for chapter 4 of my book. Bye for now.